This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Top 10 at 420 is coming up in about 20. Send Wolchuk some love on social. He is ill today. He was ill yesterday, but worked through it. Sucker. But he's resting up today, man. And he'll be back tomorrow night for the Cowboys post-game show and more. It's time now for a College Football Wednesday. Here's Chief.
And perhaps Wolchuk's his own worst enemy there in terms of getting sick or whatever. We'll address that coming up in the Wooly Bully Top 10 here in a few minutes. But right now, it's your college football hump day darty sesh. And I was pretty taken aback this morning whenever I was listening to Sean and RJ and Choppy informing us about a quarterback at UNLV, the quarterback at UNLV, undefeated UNLV, top 30 ranked UNLV, and their quarterback Matthew Sluka letting the world know, like after midnight, this was like in the middle of the night last night, that he had decided to utilize his redshirt year and will not be playing in any additional games this season. He has punted on this particular season with UNLV. So he's quitting on the team in the season, and apparently he had been verbally promised a minimum of $100,000 from a UNLV assistant coach for transferring there, and none of that money ended up being paid. Now, a guy named Carl Reed was reporting on this, and he said that all financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against KU and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent, and they collectively feel that his market value has increased. So that was sort of the counter reporting there. But then the brother of the quarterback, Matthew Sluka, he returned fire and said, "You've got the wrong sources then. None of that is true." So It seems, though, we have a new development here where the broke nature of UNLV knows no bounds, as over the last 15 minutes or so, we get news that UNLV running back Michael Allen, the fourth leading rusher on the team, also is announcing his plan to redshirt the rest of the season and enter the transfer portal.
Uh-oh.
So now it's player number two.
I want to know where to go.
Apparently, he says, and he actually tweeted this out, he says, "After three games, I have decided to utilize my redshirt, enter the portal at the end of the season as a redshirt junior. Grateful for UNLV and wish them nothing but success. Expectations for opportunities, unfortunately, were not met, and I'm excited to continue my football career."
Yeah, I guess, you know, I see it both ways. You know, from a university's perspective, if they never made any official offers for NIL money to happen and the players are leaving, I think you'd lean on the, "Hey, these weren't official offers," you know. But when you have multiple players now maybe suggesting similar things, it's tough to believe the university side. You know, I think maybe you have a gray area here of assistant coaches saying, "We will get you this money. Come play for us." And if the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, I agree with Jim Rome. I'm surprised we haven't seen this happen more often. But if players are waiting until they blow up and then saying, hey, I'm not playing for you unless you give me X amount of money after a big game, that's a huge unsustainable problem, and that would need to be fixed immediately. I'll just say the same thing I've been saying probably for the last 4 or 5 years as this story has evolved. We need to get to a point where there's actual contracts between the players and the universities, and until then, we'll just get more and more of these.
Well, and one of the things that you can't do is make a huge transfer decision based on a verbal something or other from some random assistant coach.
Yeah. You know,
like agent, whoever the agent is here is not looking very good, because who is going to be recommending to their client, like, yeah, just take the verbal $100,000 assistant coach deal, and then you're going to be surprised that it didn't get paid out. It is funny though that UNLV is standing there like, yeah, we don't have any of the resources to come up with the $100,000 for our quarterback, even though we're undefeated and we're doing things with our football program that we haven't done in a long time, and they're still not pulling out writing any checks here. And their running back's dealing with it. So clearly they have some serious issues here.
They need some sponsors. They need some alumni. You know?
I know.
Generate some cash. But
I don't know what type of wealthy alumni they have there.
Guy Fieri.
So Guy Fieri went to that school?
Yeah, he's UNLV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the mayor of Flavortown should be able to get something done there, pull some strings.
He's worth, hundreds of millions of dollars. He ought to be able to kind of help the program. This is unfortunate. I wonder if you get in a situation there where if all of a sudden,
Tommy Loren.
Will the players come back if you find the money?
Is she going to be in a hurry to hand out the cash to the players?
Oh, what's her story?
Oh, she's just an influencer, opinionated gal. Mm. Probably sees these players getting handouts as wanting to go back to the old ways.
Wait, which lady?
Gina Carano. Speaking of that, Gina Carano, another one. Jimmy Kimmel, and then Guy Fieri.
Hey, Jimmy Kimmel.
You get to Flo Rida, the musician.
Hey, Flo Rida just came up too. He got a whole lot of bread from that little, what was it, energy drink situation.
Okay, yeah.
There we go.
A whole bunch of millies.
There we go.
But then after that, like, that's it. After that, it's Randall Cunningham. Mm. And some basketball players, and we're not even outside of the top 10, like Larry Johnson and Anthony Bennett,
Wow, dude, I'm seeing the Flo Rida deal. It was the lawsuit. It was against the Celsius energy drink.
Yeah, buddy got paid.
$82.6 million?
Did they use his song?
I have no idea.
Whatever they did, use mine.
I have.
The Lucis song.
I just see that.
Use whatever you got, brother. Come on.
Wow.
And these
I won't even charge you that much.
I don't know, dude. That's a crazy situation. Yeah, Flo Rida should be able to just hand this quarterback $100,000 and say, please stay. We're winning football games with you right now.
Three former Mavs are in the top 22 of most wealthy UNLV alumni. You got Derek Jones at number 22, Sean Marion at 16.
Come on, Matrix.
Just ahead of Christian Wood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, our guy, man. Is he still on the Lakers? Probably not. Well, that's a crazy, crazy situation. NIL, and plenty of coaches are coming out being like, is probably going to keep happening to some extent.
If they come out and pay, that's got to be bad for everybody else, right?
What do you mean?
If they come out, if UNLV were to somehow come up with the money and get the guys to come back, to pay.
Might be a principality of it. Like, we don't want to set this precedent.
Yeah.
At the same time, if they had coaches saying, no, we're going to get this to you, and they're not, I mean, maybe you want to.
Yeah.
If you can't come up with $100,000, you just have no commitment. You have no sales staff. You have no plan. I think it's just a sign of why UNLV has been so bad. There's nobody there that cares about the football team, apparently.
I just can't believe that you're off to a great start, in the program, and you can't, I would figure other programs not being able to come up with the money, but I kind of feel like in that area, that part of, Vegas and stuff, that they could find way. That city's known for its money. How do you not come up with money? And your program's doing so well. The alum's got to step up and get something done here.
Yeah.
This is We're kind of doing something we've never done.
Yeah, it's a lot of learning on the fly here for everybody involved. You know, from a player standpoint, you got to make sure from and from a player agent standpoint, representatives, we can't be transferring and doing verbal agreement deals. We got to get this stuff in writing. I think ultimately Dawson has the most logical plan, which is get these contractually completed between player and school, and now there's no real gray area. Everything's just standard. And that would make a lot more sense. But this UNLV thing right now, absolute nightmare for the program. Their quarterback is leaving, and now so is one of their running backs due to the NIL expectations not being met. Now, we do have some NIL back and forth as it pertains to a couple of coaches here. I guess Hugh Freeze, Auburn head coach, who's our bleep hole of the week. He was praising Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss for their NIL structure or whatever. I guess it was on the SEC teleconference call. And then Kiffin responded by saying, that's nice of him. I'm sure he'll try and steal Walker Jones, who's the head of their NIL collective, steal him just like he did all of our coaches. That was the Lane Kiffin response. So I just, I'm always here for Lane Kiffin and his no respect for any person that has gotten under his skin, and Hugh Freeze gets under everybody's skin. I saw this from Josh Pate. When do you guys think is the last time Alabama was a home dog in a game? Because they are this weekend versus Georgia.
2002.
It was probably pre Saban. So that'd be 2007.
Mike Price year.
2007. Was the last time that Alabama was a home underdog.
Nice pull, Brian. Yeah. Look at that, Mr. SEC.
That is pretty impressive. That's 113, a streak of 113 consecutive home games as a favorite for Alabama. But they're a 1.5-point dog right now.
Was that maybe an 07 versus like a Tennessee or somebody like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure who it was against.
I can find that out.
But that was the last time that they were a home dog. And that year in 2007, that's actually the same year that their current leading wide receiver was born, because they have the 17-year-old who is just absolutely crushing folks.
How's that even happen? That's crazy.
It is.
He's playing a year up.
I think I'm taking Alabama in this one. I don't know where you guys stand on this one, but Alabama as a home dog here, I mean, I don't know the money line there. Yeah, I think money line. I would take Alabama to go ahead and just win this one outright. I still have plenty of respect for Georgia, but I don't know that Georgia is quite the same when it comes to some of their trench play and stuff. Like, their offensive line is not quite what the dominant road grading situation that they've had, where they can just easily depend on it. And Alabama being doubted the way they are. I'm certainly excited for this one. Game day will be there, and it's going to be popping. But, yeah, Alabama, first time since 07 being a home dog. How about this? The last time that Texas and Mississippi State met on the field was in 1999, the Cotton Bowl. And, of course, you had Ricky Williams doing his Heisman pose in the end zone.
Iconic.
That's the last time. That's the last time these two schools have played.
I went and watched the Dallas Trinity women's professional soccer team a couple of weeks ago at the Cotton Bowl. It was a nice experience.
Yeah.
Ladies are pretty good too. It's always cool to watch a game at the Cotton Bowl, I feel like.
Ooh, did you use the trough?
I don't think it called my name. I don't think nature called that entire evening.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an upset.
Yeah, I did confirm you can now use your debit card for concessions. So I thought that was a step into the.
So they have leveled up to some extent.
Yeah.
But they do still have the troughs as it pertains to the urinals.
Yeah, and horrible parking situation. You got to walk a mile.
And really small entrances to the stadium. That's another
one. Yes, small entrances, weird steps in various places that are unnecessary. You got a bad hip.
Man, it's been so long since I've been there. But they're getting some serious renovations. That's going to happen.
Yeah, so they're upgrading it. They're expanding it, widening it.
LSU was a favorite in 2007, 6.5-point favorite. LSU won 41-34 that day.
Probably had Nick Saban on your sideline. No, he was in Miami, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think that was that Saban's first year?
Saban's first year.
So, 2007. Yeah. So he was still... He didn't have.
Oh, I think they got beat
the
by
respect at that point.
Didn't they get? They got beat by Louisiana Monroe or something like that. That was like his like his first year. That it was kind of crazy that they lost.
Everybody got a free pass.
Everybody took a run at him.
Dude, look at this. Stanford year one ACC. Their football team. I mean, they'll be traveling 2,500 miles this week, going to Palo Alto for upstate South Carolina, and that's fresh off the heels of a road game against Syracuse, 2,800 miles away.
I saw that their women's volleyball team, you know, we have to keep up with the women's volleyball team. They're flying over 35,000 miles this year. Their volleyball team.
They're just going coast to coast
For their ACC.
15 times.
For their ACC schedule and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's the new world of college football, man.
That's why UNLV doesn't have money to give their star quarterback. Well, they're probably wasting it on...
Spittle sent us a text.
Did he?
Yeah. He says UNLV is a state-run school, so they have limitations. That's why they lost to Lon Kruger. He left as the coach of basketball. And Nevada does not believe the highest-paid employees should be coaches. That was his thought. He used to live out there in Vegas.
Yeah, a lot of people chiming in from Vegas. 702, I'm a UNLV alumni, Bachelor of Science in Nutrition Sciences. I don't have money to donate, LOL. I continue to scan through the top 100 wealthiest alumni at UNLV, and I was surprised to see at 97, it's their current women's soccer coach, who you just told us. You know, none of the coaches are getting a lot of money there. So to be inside the top 100, I think that's saying a lot. That's a surprise. You know, I thought a lot of big money would be there and having their kids go there and whatnot. Okay. I saw Tark's kids in the top 50. Jerry Tarkanian's kid who went to UNLV while he was coaching there is in the top 50.
Wow.
Not a lot of money though. So quarterback left. Flagtober 2024. You need no cash to pick it up. Just join us at Flagtober's Tour Day DFW coming up Saturday. Starts at 9 a.m. Go to 105throughthefan.com/events for our entire schedule.
How about this? 972 says they were at the Baylor Colorado game on Saturday in Boulder, and they still have the trough urinals there.
Wow.
And
Folsom Field?
Yeah.
Wow.
A sight to behold.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad there's still some tradition in college football.
I think I would just use the bathroom outside.
Over troughing it?
Yeah. I think I would just walk outside and find a corner and just do it there. Wouldn't you? I mean, just who's standing around? Yeah. Hey, what about that first half?
Did you see that high school referee that peed on the side of the field?
Did he?
Yeah. He thought nobody was looking at him. Yeah. He kind of just like whipped it out.
Yeah.
Shaking it, and it was, right there in front of everybody,
bro. See the flash?
Turned his back a little bit.
Your pants, man.
Just let it go, man. I'm in the middle of my job.
They get him arrested?
I don't hope not.
Yeah.
I bet they did, man.
The cucumber.
I'll tear you up for something.
Yeah, they sure would.
A lot of people in that stands, there's bound to be one of them.
That 2007 Alabama team lost to Louisiana Monroe that year, 21-14.
You know who doesn't lose to Louisiana Monroe? Arch freaking Manning and the number one Texas damn Longhorns. Yeah.
That is right. Thank you, sir, for a College Football Wednesday extravaganza. Coming up next, it's time for Woolchuck's Top 10. Where are you taking it, Chief?
Well, we get to the bottom of Woolchuck's sickness, and of course, we celebrate National Quesadilla Day next year in the nation.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Okay, welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420, executed by Eric Chiafalo. The bully is out. He's sick today. I did see Nick Harris confirming That's Dory Jackson, Drew Phillips are out, and Kalen Carson, Marquise Bell are both listed as doubtful. So both the Cowboys and Giants tomorrow night could be without a couple of the defensive backs that have been in their rotation. Segment here of The Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And here he is, Eric Chiafalo.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see what happens here with how the Cowboys want to play it with no Kalen Carson.
Archer thinks that they're going to use Jordan Lewis on the outside and put him in the nickel inside, and then maybe we'll see Booth and McQuamu or somebody like that playing on the outside in the nickel.
Oh, okay, so your starting two boundary corners will be Diggs and Jordan Lewis. And then when it's three wide receiver sets and you got to kick your nickel in, it'll be Lewis going to his usual spot of nickel and then bringing somebody off
Archer
the bench.
Archer just doesn't kind of throw stuff out there. I think he asked somebody how they were going to play this.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good grasp on it.
Yep.
All right, 877-881-1053. Happy National Quesadilla Day. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big one in my household. We are a big quesadilla family.
Yeah, the kids love it.
Yeah, it's a home run. It's a home run order.
I think I love them, too.
Yeah,
it might be better than,
man.
I don't know why I don't do it more often.
Super, super underrated to make it home. And then also, it's my go-to order for the kids because inevitably they don't finish it, and then I get to have some, you know, steak quesadillas or something. And that's
you can increase
huge.
The protein ratio, I feel like. You can really layer it in there nicely.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of different things. It's a dipping, crispiness.
It's a good dipping thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Great handheld. Yeah.
Yeah, good dipping stuff.
It's a top five handheld for sure, and the quesadilla deserves to have its own day. I'm glad it does. In honor of it, we will have our top 10 best melted cheese food items in all of the world ranked by Americans. So go ahead and text those in. I did want to acknowledge the insanity of that referee P video, Lucius, because he sent
it
on
over.
He's
a wild boy, right?
He is a wild. He didn't. I was imagining him running off to some corner of the stadium somewhere in hopes that he could just hide that way and turn away from everybody. But he's just standing there on the sideline. Game's going on.
Field full of people.
Whistle in left hand and peace in the other. And he's unzipped himself and he's just peeing onto the field. He's trying to act like he's just standing there, but you can clearly see pee coming out from his zipper area. And he's standing on the field on the sideline getting ready for
a
play.
He's calling the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of feel
I
thought you said,
if I stand here normally, maybe they won't realize I'm peeing on myself.
I thought he ran to the.
No, he didn't go anywhere, dude.
No,
he just unzipped himself
right there.
He's standing next to the chain gang. He just got splashed back on the chain gang's foot.
Yeah, I think is he actually cupped his peer and was just kind of peeing into his hand. So, you know, he wouldn't expose himself but could also relieve himself at the same time.
Wow, okay, I didn't even realize that. He is. He absolutely is peeing into his hand.
That's some strategy. You got to respect the strategy, bro.
My hand's just leaking. I'm not peeing.
Well, somebody said that the
Jorge Posada referee.
The veteran move in this scenario apparently is you take the you take a towel and you put it down in your pants and then you're just kind of peeing into the towel and it's soaking
like
it.
A diaper.
Yeah, diaper-ish, you know, that you know, and then it sucks to be the trainers
after
that.
The bulgy area though down there. I mean, if you're doing that, huh?
Well, I mean, that's
and you're a referee, I mean,
you're still hiding a little bit more than just straight up peeing into your own hand on the sideline. Like
I think you're gonna combo those two. I think you hold the towel outside of the pants. And now you're kind of getting, you know, some absorption, you're getting good you know, cover.
Yeah, we don't have a referee timeout. I mean, we can't just stop the game and use the men's room.
Well, that's why I think it goes back to the sideline porta-johns and just how important they are.
Yeah,
like we talk about this time and time again. If you don't want this to happen, then put a bathroom within striking distance, dude.
I would say so. Yeah, not even a porta-john. You could actually just construct one in there.
Trough.
Yeah.
You have the trough area.
Yeah. Give this man a trough or something.
Or at least a tent, you know, like the concussion tent. Feel bad for this guy.
Yeah, I'm feeling for him as well. I wonder how long it took him to come up with this, or was this always in his back pocket in case of emergency? I'll just pee into my own hand and hope nobody sees it as
the
I'm blowing the whistle.
Is he done
somebody
it
recorded it finally? Like, I'm going to get him, dude.
Yeah,
I'm tired of this.
He might
this has been his move for years.
This might be
check the janitor's cell phone. Yeah. It's got this video on it.
This guy might be doing this every game, you know?
I could see that. Pretty inconspicuous. Not too bad. I mean, I salute him for the bravery. And for the privacy that he maintained throughout the execution of this, I think the best thing I got going and you need a little bit of a higher vehicle to do it is just like you got to go, right? Mm,
yeah.
So, but you're at the grocery store. So you park a little farther back, you open your door, and you got a wedge of privacy right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Stand behind that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You splash in your car sometimes a little bit, but yeah, yes. I get what you're saying.
You know, if you have a big gulp cup or, you know, something to make it even better.
Yeah.
But yeah.
When it comes to the point like that, I can't do it because I don't know how long I'm going to stand there.
That's
it's like, dang, it's taking forever. And then I try to rush it in and I peed on myself accidentally.
Yes. You look back at the river, you're like, dang, how was all that in me?
There's a lot there.
As it's running down towards your feet and you're going to kind of jump it around a little bit.
You got to be aware of the gradient at that
point. Yeah, the gradient, you're right.
The gradient.
when we have our bet payoff and we pee in our pants on Friday, me and Walchuk, I think we're going to do the time thing to see who had the longer pee, you know?
Are you just going to do it without us knowing? Like
I'm not going to do what you do, where we just start surprising folks with the little nitro gummy, or we just start unwrapping our stick of margarine and just start eating it before acknowledging that we're doing it. Everybody will know before I start peeing in my.
You're not going to be like a 2-year-old and run into the corner and get quiet.
No. I might just try and sneak one past you like this referee here
into your hand.
Just while I'm giving a sports take, you have no idea.
See, that's what I'm saying. I was wondering if I was going to look over and I could tell you were using the men's room with. Just by your facial expression.
You should be able to tell by my face, you know. You should be able to tell by everybody's got a pee face. Yeah. Come on. Well, it is National Quesadilla Day, and Walchuk is out sick. And I think there's some pretty damning evidence as to why. And sometimes you get sick and you're like, hey, this is not my fault. I'm not trying to point any fingers, but it's not on me. Other times, you get a little bit sick to your stomach and maybe you have to look at the man in the mirror. And so I'd like to think that's what Walchuk's doing today. There were a couple of things he said yesterday that were pretty outlandish. And again, it makes sense why my boy is
he was going through a high fever, hot sweats type of situation.
Down for the count. Yeah, well, I mean, just listen to this right here. Walchuk, what did you have for breakfast yesterday?
I love slicing up dill pickles in my mac and cheese. Sounds disgusting.
Wow. I mean, okay. So that's breakfast.
Yeah.
Right? And then we start talking about snacks, and we were talking on air, like, what's our favorite snacks and stuff to eat? And then he comes up with this weird concoction.
Beef-flavored ramen noodles with some peanut butter. It sounds weird, but it gives you that delicious Thai peanutty taste.
So we should have known at that point.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, yeah, of course you're going to go home feeling a little queasy.
He's delirious.
Here. You're out of your mind. I mean, he gets off soda where he's been drinking his meals for a while, and then he just goes full-fledged back in here, and the body adjusts. You know, you're not the same person you were. So now you're putting things in your body that your body's not prepared for. Like, for instance, our the next one where he was talking about his afternoon snack or whatever.
French fries and powdered sugar. I learned this accidentally at the beach when the wind flipped my funnel cake over in my bucket of French fries.
So that, of course, happened to him on his beach vacation in Florida last month. And now he's making it a part of his daily habits. And don't even, this is going to make you a little bit sick with the dill pickle stuff, right? Well, Chuck, here we go.
Dill pickles with sharp cheddar cheese and chunky peanut butter. I developed this snack when my wife was pregnant, and it has become a mainstay in our home.
See, so you can't Good be Lord. Eating. You don't keep the same type of pregnant cravings.
Yeah.
You can't carry those into real life and reality after those 9 months.
No.
Time's up after that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't turn that into a habitual thing. And then, of course, Walchuk, is there any other combinations that you are putting into your body here?
Oh.
One combination I love is potato chips dipped into chocolate, peanut butter, and banana smoothie. It was one of the things I craved when I was pregnant.
See, so, I mean, it's really getting out of hand for my guy here. And if you wonder why he's homesick today, that probably explains it.
Yeah.
Melted cheese snacks, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of National Quesadilla Day. Cheesesteak, mac and cheese balls, and the calzone. And the cheesy tots are all outside looking in. Couldn't crack it. I'm surprised about that cheesesteak situation.
The quesadilla at Twin Peaks is fire, by the way. I can confirm that.
So damn good. You have the potato skins at 10, lathered in cheese. You get like some of the green.
Loaded?
Yeah. Yeah, like a loaded one. You got some bacon and stuff
bacon
in there.
Bacon and cheese.
Melt the cheese in there.
Yeah.
Of course, you have queso at 9. You got the cheeseburger at 8. Should be higher.
Underrated.
Way underrated.
That's a top tour.
Yeah. How are cheese fries ahead of the cheeseburger? Like if just I told you three. Right, like you get one option right now. You get a cheeseburger, melted cheese, or you get cheese fries. I think we're going cheeseburger 10 out of 10.
You know what? But what if you have the ability to doctor up the cheese fries, like with brisket and stuff like that on it?
Okay, that's a different story, but I mean, where you're going.
I mean, yeah. It's almost like a loaded fries, but
yeah.
Snuffers.
You said brisket, you know? At that point, I'm up to consider anything.
Yeah, if you put like ground up brisket on it, shredded mm-hmm, brisket yeah. on them, and kind of made them that way, then...
becomes more hearty.
Then it becomes more hearty, and I maybe would do it over the cheeseburger.
Could start to consider that more of an entree than even just a side dish.
There you go.
Mozzarella nachos at Hurtado will change your life.
Oh, my Lord.
The
fact that we can get those at the ballpark.
Uh-huh.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah, next year. Yeah, we look forward to that. Mozzarella sticks is at number 6 here for the best melted cheese item.
Did you ever get one of the, after this year, you never got another mozz stick, did you?
No, it was just opening day when our guy Casey Rapp decided to come through in a huge, huge way for us. But unfortunately, no, I didn't get any more Globe Life Field mozzarella sticks. Hopefully they bring those back to the main menu. That's a headliner. The quesadillas at number 5. Mac and cheese at number 4. Mm. Mount Rushmore, melted cheese, food item. Grilled cheese at number 3. The versatility there obviously speaks for itself.
Yes.
Cheese curds coming in quite a bit here on the text.
Dawson, you said those cheese curds at Shakerton's were good the other day?
Yes, some of the best cheese curds I've ever had.
All right.
We have nachos at number 2. And they even have, in parentheses, by it here. They say, especially the ballpark nachos from Hurtado at Globe Life Field. So it's catching on throughout the entire country, which is good. And then number 1 here, melted cheese food item on National Quesadilla Day. It's pizza.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to push back on that.
Thanks to Dawson for once again saving the day.
Made it a Pizza Thursday in here.
Yep.
Unbeknownst to us,
we're
that was fantastic.
Meatball subs tomorrow.
Meatball subs tomorrow?
Yep. For the game.
Look at us, dude.
In the neighborhood.
Oh, we're doing the New York thing? They're playing the Giants this week, so we got pizza. We got meatball subs.
I just need to cook for everybody.
I think this is a lot's pizza. It's amazing, you know? And for me, it's hard to find a good pizza all the time. It's close and cheap, and they do it well.
The Lots does a great job.
Your wings
job.
Are pretty good, too, right?
I didn't try a wing.
I did. That Gar Parm's getting it done.
Yeah, you and Chieftain said they were good.
All right, we got to run G-Bag Nation, but on the other side, I'll tell you why I did not like this Cowboys apology that we got yesterday and why it's next here in the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We're less than an hour from LA Live, which hits you every night about 5:40 here in the nation. In addition to the finest coming up at 5 o'clock and at 5:20, Gojo's going to join us, Mike Golic Jr. Big story from last night at about this time, CeeDee Lamb, public apology for letting down the team with his performance on Sunday and his attitude and all that. You know, and I got home, I saw the videos, and just kind of was looking at it. There was something that didn't sit quite right with me about it. I don't know about you. At 877-881-1053. He's just a winner that absolutely hates losing, you know. And growing up, you know, the team that brought the most toxic energy to a loss that I'd ever seen was the Detroit Piston Bad Boys with Lambeer and Isaiah Thomas. And I know that's a dated reference, but now they've been talked about so much through, you know, the Michael Jordan biography and all that. I feel like people know that story well. And to see the Pistons Bad Boy like 30 for 30 – Zeke and Bill loved that about each other. Isaiah Thomas and Bill Lambeer, they were like, that's what we bonded over, the fact that we both hated losing so much. It turned us into the biggest a-holes in the history of the world. The next thing you know, we're taking on hard fouls. We're cussing out people that we supposedly love. And I don't know if you want to be rooting that out, you know? So when CD comes and was like, man, you know, I'm so sorry for caring so much about winning that I was unprofessional. To me, that is an organization that cares more about being comfortable and living millionaire and billionaire lifestyles. It's like, oh no, CeeDee, that you know, that really rattled me. You know, I'm out here living a great life as a Dallas Cowboy, and you're bringing all this animosity and angst to the party. Like when Jerry Jones says, I don't have time to have a bad time, you know, people interpret that kind of as, oh, Jerry's saying he doesn't have much time left, so we got to win now. No, what he's really saying is, I don't have room for anybody in my luxurious sports owner lifestyle to bring a ton of stress and animosity to the party, because that is something that is going to drag down the user experience and make it less fun, make it less glamorous. I think they need a leader who doesn't want to be the nice guy. When I saw CeeDee Lamb losing his crap, I was like, cool, you know? We haven't seen this many times since Troy Aikman in like 1998 was beside himself with fury over the irresponsible nature of his roster and the fact that no coach on the staff would hold these guys accountable and demand greatness anymore. He knew that left when Jimmy Johnson walked out the door and was just flabbergasted at the pathetic tone and attitude that his sideline had taken over. Guys, I don't know that since then we've gotten it back. What do you think?
No, I don't think you have. And I agree with you. I do think there needs to be more discomfort in the entire organization because they are extremely comfortable and they don't want anybody to come in there and mess up the way they do things, even though the way they do things doesn't result in actual winning, which is supposed to be the main goal, but it's fair to question whether or not it is for them. But I think as it pertains to CD, if you're going to be that guy, you have to be able to channel those emotions. You know, you have to be able to lift those guys up around you to some extent. You know, you're trying to, if winning is what is actually there, if winning's really what your goal is, and I don't know that he necessarily did that, and you got to play better. You actually have to be like Troy Aikman can do that because Troy's the one who's actually playing well. If you're a guy who's going to be dominant, like, hey, CeeDee Lamb's doing everything he can. He's freaking, he's getting some separation. He's coming down with it. He's definitely not fumbling in the red zone to maybe have the turning point play of the entire game. So some of that stuff, Green Bay's the same thing. He's complaining and he's not actually doing anything with his play about it. So I understand his frustration, but it's not like, hey, I'm frustrated and give me the ball because I'm about to go do something to help us win. It's the two worst games you've seen from him, Green Bay.
That's a good point.
And yeah, the other day.
That's a good point. Brian, what do you think about this?
Was the first sign of maybe being uncomfortable Monday's press conference with Mike McCarthy?
Well, I think we've seen Mike McCarthy be uncomfortable before when he's being questioned about
the way that he handled the media. Like the after the game, he was one way. On Monday, he was totally different. He didn't want to be there. He didn't, you know, all these things that you kind of.
He was worn out. He was frustrated. Yeah,
but it was kind of like, you know, he goes after reporters. Mm-hmm. He's kind of surly. Do you feel like that maybe, you know, he's maybe now feeling a little bit more uncomfortable that maybe on Monday morning when he had to sit in there and watch film with the general manager and director of player personnel and others that maybe he got a little bit of a butt chewing and then now he takes that butt chewing out on the media later that afternoon, 30 minutes late, they have the press conference, you know, that kind of thing. And everything, all the answers are short. And I don't know, to me, that's where, and you start to feel like, and I understand what you're saying about the comfort because I've ranted before about people being comfortable there.
Yeah.
But to me, that's maybe the first sign that somebody's not comfortable was with McCarthy and
your
the way.
Coach getting stressed.
Your yeah. coach got stressed because of some interaction and meetings he might have had to deal with the general manager that day.
Yeah, unfortunately, the discomfort that we need is to happen in the front office. You know, it's somebody needs to be sitting next to Jerry making him uncomfortable, not Jerry trying to make Mike McCarthy feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem is the front office. See, and everything else is a trickle effect.
Jerry, I don't think Jerry will ever feel uncomfortable, but the fact that Jerry acknowledged that the fans should blame him for some of these problems, I don't think I've ever heard Jerry say that before.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Dawson, you've been in this market a long time. But I don't ever remember Jerry coming out and saying, yeah, if the fans want to blame me, before we've seen Jerry come out and say, hey, I'm damn good at being this general manager.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen this year. Hey, I'm a damn good general manager. There's nobody else that I'd want to be in the general manager other than me.
He definitely said that after 2014 and 2016.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think he said it this year too. You remember some of the
interviews?
Yeah,
he said
I'm the best general manager stuff. Like when he won executive of the year,
No, but he said it this recently.
Yeah, with Stephen A. Smith, with Clarence Hill.
Exactly.
I'm the man. No one can do this better than me.
And this last week, it was a little bit more, I understand if the fans want to blame me.
Yeah.
I you should.
Yeah, but I think that's blame me not because I got you the wrong players. I think it's blame me because I got you the wrong coach.
Yeah.
You know, because he still has to take ownership of that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to admit to any type of roster issues.
And he might have tough discussions with his coaches, but I mean, he's said things and just never follows up on it, you know, like
I think the thing that bothers me the most is when he apologizes to the fan base for how things are, and he has the capability to be able to make change,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get change.
No, because he likes comfort so much.
No, that's your.
He wants a coach that he knows is going to be loyal to him.
You're absolutely right.
More than a coach that's going to give you an edge.
He wants
a guy that's not going to go on TV and show me up. That's the first priority that I need from a head coach.
You kind of show him up after games because there's 40 media members outside and me and Wolchuk asking Mike McCarthy questions and we're the only two sitting there, you know, kind of a thing.
Well, I hope CeeDee can still have a big year. You know, I think that's the most important thing here is that while your receiving core leaves nothing to be, you know, proud of and your running game is nothing, if he and Dak can still produce 1,250 receiving yards to him throughout the year, if we can get 8 or 9 touchdowns in this situation, I think they'll be able to thrive. Not just survive, but they'll be able to thrive. And, you know, that bodes very well for the future. But for the time being, if it's bad, I don't want the other players going, oh, no. This is a distraction. We need to let this rage. We need to let that fire burn, okay? We need to let it go to coaches who say, we don't act like this. Yes, we do, because we're embarrassed for 30 years. This is 30 years building up. That's how the fans feel. Why can't any of the players feel like the fans feel on the sideline? You know, if you do that, now it's unprofessional and it's, I don't know, what are we saying here? It's going to make you uncomfortable. Now you have an argument with a coworker you actually have to deal with, which is what it should be. You know, there's more acrimony and desire on the majority of youth sports sidelines. Name your sport. Than how much they really care about winning and losing. And I think CeeDee got a very strong message. You're here to be a TV star and make a lot of money, and as long as you don't stir the pot, you can stick around and be happy and enjoy this lifestyle.
This is, I think, the first sign we've seen then of a head coach having his future here is insecure.
That'd be interesting. I mean, I hope the Cowboys will move
on. If the players aren't respecting, you know, in the preparations and things like that, and maybe they're not listening to Mike.
That's why Woody got fired.
Yeah.
Why Bochy had to come in here.
Yeah, I think then that's where... If the players continue to do that, then they absolutely have no respect for Mike, who they probably feel like, well, if we keep losing, he's not going to be here anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we're here, and he won't be.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens sometimes. I didn't want to believe that, but we might be starting to see some of that. You lose this week, it'll be even worse.
Yes. We'll be talking about Mike McCarthy midseason. Okay, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We're kicking off Flagtober Saturday. Get the entire schedule, 105thefan.com/events. Going to make a giant loop around DFW, handing out flags for free at the Whataburger nearest you. You can check which one that'll be, 105thefan.com/events. And we're back with an edition of the finest. Eric, what do we got?
Yeah, well, we kick off the 5 o'clock B-Dubs football hour here in the G-Bag Nation. Got a little week 4 GTS for the boys. And Mike Zimmer, you've been called out.